Elizabeth Elliot says, "I believe there is such a thing as self-esteem and self-image, but I do not think that it is something that you and I ought to be paying much attention to. I would much rather use the energy and the time that I have and direct it towards knowing God, worshiping God, loving God, finding out who He is, and daily praying that He will make me much more like Himself." Welcome to Gateway to Joy. We have a question and answer session today. Let's get started.
I would like to maintain my children's innocence as long as possible. When do you recommend talking to your children about marital sexual relations? Do you recommend that husband and wife talk together with their daughter, or just mom and vice versa with sons? My mother, I prayed from until I was 7 years old, I prayed desperately that God would give us a sister. I had two brothers, and I thought that was plenty. I thought that was more than enough. And so I was praying that the Lord would give me a sister. And so one day, my mother told me that, before my mother told me anything, I went to my mother and asked her why we don't get another baby. And she said, well, maybe we will sometime. Well, there was a baby hospital down the street from where we lived, and so I suggested that mother could go there to get one, because that's where I thought they all came from. And so when she did become pregnant in answer to my prayers, she took me aside and told me that the Lord was going to answer my prayer, was going to give us a baby. We didn't know whether it was going to be a boy or a girl, but the baby was inside her. And that was really all I needed to know. That was my one and only fact, and that's all I needed to know. I had no idea that my father had anything to do with it. So the most important answer to this question is, don't tell your children more than you think they need to know at any given time, and it takes wisdom from God. In today's world, of course, who knows what they're learning in school. If they go to a public school, it may be first grade when they're learning all kinds of stuff. I think it's best for the father to talk to his sons and a mother to talk to the daughter for the first lessons on sex. As they get into teenage, then of course you can have family conversations about it. And it's very important that you ask God to help you to discern when they need to know these things. God will give you wisdom if you ask of Him. How can we love family members who have committed crimes without condoning their lifestyles? Well, that's a good question. We should never confuse love with condoning. Christ loved us while we were yet sinners. He did not condone what we did. He had to die for it. And you and I may have to die figuratively in all kinds of ways in order to love somebody whose behavior is anathema to you, whose behavior is totally unacceptable. And if it's a family member, they probably know how you feel about what they've done. If they know what your standards are, what the scriptures say, then they already know. So you don't have to go into that, nor need they ever think that because you're being loving to them, that you condone what they do. What authors have been an inspiration to you? I'll just name three. We could go on and on, but Amy Carmichael has had the most profound influence in my spiritual life of any Christian author. I would say George MacDonald is next, and C.S. Lewis is third. All of them instruct me continually. I'm reading George MacDonald over and over again. What is your definition of the sovereignty of God? It means that God is in total control of everything that happens. He is the Lord of the universe. Nothing can happen without God's permission. To me, that's the most calming, fortifying doctrine that I know. There is nothing to worry about. God is not worried about anything. He is working on a pattern which the Bible tells us is meant for good. Romans 8:28 says, everything that happens fits into a pattern for good to them that love God. And of course, our instant question is, but Lord, how can this thing fit into any pattern for good? He's not going to answer that question. He has told us it does. He has not told us how it does. Recently, attention has been drawn to the plight of persecuted Christians in the world. Have you had contact with suffering Christians in your travels? What should American Christians do to help them? I can't remember having any contact with suffering Christians who are suffering now. Of course, we have traveled in Europe, and I know that there have been suffering Christians in Ecuador. But the people that we've met were people who had endured suffering, yes. What should American Christians do to help them? It is overwhelming to think of all the things that are going on. There have been more Christian martyrs in the last 50 years than in all Christian history before that. Did you know that? There have been at least 100,000 Christian martyrs in China alone. Nobody has any count of the number that were killed in the Sudan. And of course, it's going on now. There's concentration camps in Bosnia. The things that are going on in Rwanda are unbelievable. I think you just have to pray. You can pray broadly and widely, but you can also pray specifically. Just ask the Lord to bring to your attention individuals or particular places that God wants you to pray about. There are organizations that you can support that are trying to help them, and by all means, support such organizations. I'm helping my husband of 1.5 years to raise 2 sons, 11 and 12. They are my stepsons, and I love them very much. My husband and I are trying to raise them in good Christian homes. Their natural mother has moved to town and is letting them see her more often. She is not saved and has convinced them that being a Christian and going to church is not something they have to take part in. They don't go to church when they stay with her and complain when we pray, read the Bible, or go to church. Do you have any suggestions for us? That's a very tough one, and of course, it's not one that I've ever had to deal with. But God has an answer, and because you and your husband are Christians and have a responsibility to answer to God for the training that your boys get, never mind whatever negative training they're getting from the other side, try to be as casual, as calm and pleasant as you can when you explain to your sons, yes, I know that your mother does things this way and she believes other things. This is what we believe and this is why we believe it. And just feed them the Word of God, teach them to pray, and try to be cheerful about it and just say, and we all go to church as a family, and we don't want you to miss out on some things that you may not think are very interesting now, but someday you're going to be thankful. Above all, pray for wisdom. Just pray and pray and pray for wisdom. Pray that the Lord will enable you as a stepmother to love the birth mother. I don't know if you have any contact with her, but God will have to give you the answers. Does turning the other cheek mean that we must keep putting ourselves back in the way of a person who continually hurts us? Sometimes yes and sometimes no, but God will have to show you your particular situation. Can we as Christians justify the act of disassociation? Paul was extremely strong on certain things about which he said that the, or with which he said that the Christians in the church were to have nothing to do. And that has been a very hard question for me. In certain situations where I felt that someone was absolutely wrong in doing what they did, and they were people that were claiming to be Christians. And there are several places where Paul says you're not even to eat with them. You are not to welcome them into your fellowship, and you're not to eat with them. I think that perhaps that is limited to a church resolution. It's something that has to be taken to the elders in the church and let them decide as to what degree of disassociation there can be. If it's a member of the family, there's no way you can dissociate yourself. And that goes for the first question, too. If you're putting yourself in the way of a person who continually hurts you, if that person happens to be your husband, obviously you have to continually put yourself in his way. Is it right to cut off someone, father, brother, friend, in order to avoid verbal and emotional abuse? I think it's wrong. I think you ought to be willing to take the verbal and emotional abuse. Remember that Jesus was reviled and reviled not again. He opened not his mouth. So you continue to pour out love and continue to get contempt poured on you. So what else is new? If we're going to be his followers, we have to take up the cross. To deny oneself for the love of Christ is very difficult, especially when we have been very hurt. How could we expect to be followers of one who took up the cross and not be hurt? How could we possibly imagine that the taking up of the cross is not going to mean suffering? It means suffering. Maybe my book, A Path Through Suffering, would be helpful to you, because I've tried to show in there that out of deepest suffering, God can bring deepest joy. How can we forgive and find healing and peace in our hearts when our hearts are so heavy with pain? Let me give you what has been a very liberating little gesture in my life. Get down on your knees, lift up your empty hands, and put that pain, figuratively, into your hands. But it helps me to take this physical action and just say, Lord, you know the pain of my heart. You know what that person did. I cannot handle this pain. I am going to give it to you. And in the name of Jesus Christ, I will not retrieve it. And you just give that pain over to God. It is an act of surrender. The enemy is going to be there instantly. And he's going to whisper in your ear, do you think that worked? Do you think God was listening? Do you feel real good about that person now? And of course, the answer is no. You don't feel any different than you did 5 minutes ago. But the point is, you have given that pain to Jesus Christ, and you are not going to act in accordance with your pain. You are going to change your attitude, and you are going to start loving that person. But it will only come by the work of the Holy Spirit in your life, and you have got to make that surrender. Relinquish the anger and the pain and the hurt. And if you have to get down on your knees 50 times in one day to do that, go ahead. And if Satan whispers in your ear, I don't turn around and talk to Satan. I don't want to talk to Satan. I just say, Lord, you heard what he said. I'm going to let you handle this.
You've been listening to Gateway to Joy with Elizabeth Elliott, author of over 20 books, including Shadow of the Almighty, The Life and Testament of Jim Elliott. Join us next time for more encouragement and challenge from Elizabeth Elliott. This has been a production of the Bible Broadcasting Network.